ね、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、あの、ちょっと、 So good evening. Then last time we spoke about how everything that Buddha Shakyamuni Buddha taught can be understood through the can be understood through his presentation of dependence arising, or maybe to express it more clearly, through understanding the one can understand everything the Buddha taught in a more profound way through applying his the understanding of his teachings on dependence arising to every topic that he taught. Furthermore, we looked at last time how all phenomena, whatever phenomenon appears to our mind, whatever phenomenon that is, it appears as if it is inherently existent, meaning it's independent and unchanging. However, when we investigate, we come to see that no phenomenon exists in this way. So despite appearing to exist in this way, that is not how it abides in reality. But that doesn't mean, though, that phenomena don't exist at all. Rather, they exist as mere imputations by mind. Then, moreover, last time we also looked at how all the Buddha's teachings, no matter what the topic was, they were motivated by love and compassion so as to enable beings to develop the minds within themselves, which will lead to a liberation from suffering, freedom from samsara. So this is the goal of all the teachings of that the Buddha gave. So that, in brief, is what we looked at last time.
And this is sharing on that to the Sanji Chimdin Digi, Azulebe, Masikin Chimbushu, Kitin Chimbushu, Sanji Chimdin Digi, Da Yundin Digi, Jim, Timbu Tone, and Sanji Chimdin Digi, and Nizike, Sanji Chimdin, the Sanji Chimdin Digi, Sonshiki, Timber, Delia, and Bet Nazuki, Gushiv Tone, Debadan, Gubi Tone, and then Yamlin Chevo, Esse, and Digor Mashi.
Tonight, then, the verse we're going to start with. Here, this verse serves to, through this verse, it serves for us to recall the tremendous kindness of Buddha Shakyamuni, as well as his incomparable qualities. And it's independent on Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings that faith in those teachings arise, as well as respect for him and the teachings. And this then serves to inspire us in our practice. So this is what we're going to start looking at tonight.
And that's it, dear. Emma, Kiki, Timbani, Gangi, Navi, Lamson, Dida, Tamji, Sigur, Chir, Kitin, Timbers, Sumikuis, and Ibar, 66.
That's the 39th verse. How marvelous your teachings are, since they bring peace to all whose ears they reach, who would not respectfully follow your teachings. Well, the last line could be translated as, who would not respectfully uphold your teachings? The very first word in this verse is emaho, and that means something like how marvelous or how fantastic, how amazing.
Then we see
your teachings. So your your teachings, so you refers to Buddha Shakyamuni, and then the teachings refers to his both his scriptural teachings as well as the scriptural lineage of teachings as well as the realizational lineage of teachings. Independence on receiving teachings of the Buddha Dharma, and not just receiving one or two, but many, reflecting on them and meditating on them, that one will be able to train in the three trainings of ethics and concentration and wisdom, leading to the cultivation of virtuous paths within our continuum. And these virtuous paths are a quality of realization. So these realizations that arise in one's continuum, these then are the realizational teachings. And those that are the scriptural teachings are those that are being taught, so the teachings of the Buddha. That is what's meant by the scriptural teachings. So I've just confirmed what I said was correct, so that the teachings of the Buddha are the realization of the scriptural teachings, and the realizational teachings are those that arise in the continuum of the practitioners. And again, I went on to say practitioners on the various paths, and whether they are of the hero type or the solitary realizer type or the bodhisattva type. Those realizations in their continuum, those are the realizational teachings.
And then Lungi Tempa said, Sanji Gima, Chu, Sunship, Sung, Diki, Tenchu, Dodang, Delenga, Dinigi, and Dizon, Sanji Sunyati, Sung Diki, Lungi Tempa Chagorwa.
And the scriptural teachings, and these are the teachings that came from the Buddha, whether they are of the sutra lineage or the tantric lineage, these are what constitute the scriptural teachings. So when you hear the term Buddha Dharma or the teachings of the Buddha, then understand it to have these two components. The teachings that were propounded by the Buddha, whether of sutra or tantra, these are the scriptural teachings. Those teachings then which are received and reflected and meditated on and arise in the minds of practitioners in their continuums, those mental paths, these mental paths are what are meant by the realizational teachings. So the Buddha Dharma has these two types, scriptural teachings and realizational teachings. And the scriptural teachings were those propounded by the Buddha, and the realizational teachings are those that are generated in the minds of practitioners. However, the scriptural teachings of the Buddha are not limited just to Buddha Shakyamuni himself. So those great beings who gave rise to the realizational teachings in their own continuum and then propounded the Buddha Dharma, such as Nagarjuna and Asanga and many other great bodhisattvas, as well as hearers and solitary realizers. So these great practitioners who had given rise to the realizational teachings within their own continuum, their further teachings then would also be counted as scriptural teachings. So therefore, the scriptural teachings, the lineage of the scriptural teachings, doesn't only refer to the teachings from Buddha Shakyamuni, but also from those great beings who gave rise to the realizational teachings and then taught further. So we see that Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings, these are included in the scriptural teachings. And then the beings who came to practice these teachings, put them into practice and generate these paths in their minds, they gave rise to the realizational teachings. And when they further propounded the Buddha Dharma, their teachings then too would be included in the scriptural teachings. So does that then mean that prior to Buddha Shakyamuni arising or attaining Buddhahood, that there was no Buddha Dharma in the world, or there were no scriptural teachings in the world? So that's not the case at all. Because when Buddha Shakyamuni, or the being that was to become the Buddha Shakyamuni, was training and cultivating paths in his continuum, he was then giving rise to realizational the lineage of realizational teachings in his continuum, based on the scriptural lineages of the previous Buddhas, such as Buddha Kashyapa, as well as the other propounders of Buddha Kashyapa's lineage. So Therefore, before the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni became a Buddha, then there was certainly both scriptural and realizational teachings in the world. And they had started at that time with the previous founder Buddha or wheel-turning Buddha, Buddha Kasyapa. And then through his teachings, beings practiced and gave rise to the realizational lineage of the teachings in their continuum, and they propounded teachings, and these then were included in the scriptural lineage of teachings of Buddha Kasyapa. And independent on those, Buddha Shakyamuni arose, or the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni did so and arose as a Buddha. And then all those beings who then later followed Buddha Shakyamuni, and who having received the scriptural lineage of teachings and gave rise to the realizational lineage within themselves, they propounded teachings within the lineage of Buddha Shakyamuni's scriptural teachings as they were students or followers of Buddha Shakyamuni. So therefore, the Buddha Dharma would have existed long before Buddha Shakyamuni himself. Returning to the first line here when the term teachings, this directly refers or explicitly refers to the scriptural teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni, indirectly will refer to the realizational teachings.
Ndi meva masena, tartu mardi meva sokores. Dan di meva sena, myomobadian zodi, yuzo, the zawa de carasena, denzin das denzin maripasias. Sisan di meva sokores. Ndi meva sena, then a good meva sodu, and a mahobana, then a good meva sosavana, dechinjela, corri duma yon tu mares, meva sokorege, and di nabodi sungorva.
And what is meant then by the scriptural teachings of the Buddha? So this is what we've been hearing up to this point in some detail. Specific to our context here is the presentation on suffering and the cause of suffering. And what is the cause of all the sufferings that beings experience? It's the contaminated karma that beings have accumulated themselves under the influence, under the control of their very own afflicted minds. So this is the cause of the entire variety of coarse and subtle sufferings that all beings, all ordinary beings, are experiencing. And how does one become liberated from this state, the state of suffering? That can only come about if the afflicted minds, which lead to the accumulation of karma, of negative karma, if these are eliminated. And the only way to completely eliminate all the afflicted minds without exception is to eliminate their root cause, the ignorance of self-grasping, or the ignorance of true grasping. This one afflicted mind is the root cause from which all suffering comes, because it's from this mind that all the other afflictions follow, as well as the accumulation of karma. So this is the method, this is the technique. There is no other way other than the elimination of the afflicted minds. And the only way to eliminate the wide variety of afflicted minds completely is to eliminate their root cause.
Gomne, and a bangorma, tony to below the magomna, and a pantoyomades. Sada Tonyo Topolo de Combala Tonyo Tokores, Chesan Tony de Ganes Tokurilane, Tinjin Chetam Jeda, Ranchima, Timber Jubalana, Chetam Jugudan, Chashe Kale, Matuba, Rangwen Jubu, Yogin, Joya Meting, and the Timber Juba, Ranchin Juba, Rangi Singh Juba, Dinish Legorwa. Sidan Dinity Yomares, the Karaji Meva Karelan, Kala Matuba, Rangwen Jubu, and Yogin, and Joya Meting Yomares. Karelamne, Chukan is in a chichili tingores, tenungure, mother, tenu, yodroyores, tingores, Chisan Matimbache, Omares, and Tendigan Namchashe. Chisan doos in the Tendigan Namja doos and some tangi 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 tangi, then a gansam julia, a galai mother rangun to Bazog in Minu, some belodiki to Gurias, Titoyan to Colossio. Chisada, Chetam Chikahama, rangun to a man, I am ever a church and I am ever a person, I'm ever married, rangun you to body, dash and chibis and a Langwen Juba Yomares, Yina, Pa Lu Shaba Zemye, Lu Pa Tanya Daba Zemye, Yedes, Jesan, Yubanza, Tanya Daba Zem Yubaza, Gudan, Jin, Java, Jua Joy, the Yedes, and Dendy Namsha, Disungorwa.
What has just been mentioned then is that the only way to be freed of suffering. The only way for beings to completely transcend suffering is to eliminate the root cause of all suffering. And that is this ignorance of self-grasping or the ignorance of true grasping. That is the only solution that exists. And then the only way to actually cultivate that solution or apply that solution, the only technique to abandon this ignorance of self-grasping is to realize a mind that is completely opposite to it, completely contrary to this ignorance, and that is a wisdom. And the mind, the specific wisdom that is contrary to the specific ignorance, is the wisdom realizing emptiness. So this is the one method, the one technique to completely free oneself from suffering. And the way then to give rise, to cultivate this wisdom realizing emptiness within one's own continuum, is to first come to see how phenomena appear to the mind. And the way that phenomena appear when one looks is they appear to be inherently existent, which means they appear as if they are independent. In other words, that they are not influenced by anything at all. And the second characteristic is they appear to be unchanging. So no matter what phenomena phenomenon one investigates, when one investigates how it appears to the mind, it appears in this way, as inherently existent, meaning it appears to be independent and unchanging. But then when one investigates to see if the phenomenon exists in the way that it appears, one comes to see that it does not. And that is because when one investigates, one cannot find this independent phenomenon that is unchanging. One cannot find this phenomenon. One then comes to understand that the phenomenon is empty of existing in the way that it appears. Or to put it another way, it's empty of existing inherently. And this is an understanding of emptiness. And the mind that understands this is a mind of wisdom, and it's a wisdom that is understanding emptiness. And then the investigation then continues, because one has now come to see that when one comes to understand firstly how the phenomenon appears, then secondly investigates to see if it exists in that way, nothing can be found. The phenomenon cannot be found at all. The phenomenon that exists in the way that it appears cannot be found at all. But then on the other hand, if one does not investigate, there's a phenomenon. Something that functions, that exists. It just does not exist in the way that it appears. So then how does it exist? Rather, it is a dependence arising. Dependence on causes and conditions, dependence on parts, dependence on imputation by mind. When brief, dependent one thing on another. So this is how it can be said that something exists. In particular, in brief, as a mere imputation by mind.
Ah, dini zada, dini ginyomong begi zawa din da tenzingi nyembo nyembo de da tonyo de beshara di gongo res chen da di gomba tam gi ene yang kowal de tu gu mare skare lamna ne di robo khar ko sin jimba da churim se ba ne zhen de sam de ne de yo che tonyo to ya la nie la ya jimba da churim se ba zhen de sam de ne de ye da ding ye de ge go ru wa o de ne ge nyam ne cha sa che go le se wo jimba churim se ba zhen de sam de da ding ye zhen da de ne tonyo de beshara Chasan nyamna chekhoriyes, dene ki nyamna chekhoriyes, dene ki su chepe sungdi da, kyo ki tenpa niye siri, dene sung chepe sungdi la, kyo ki tenpa niye siri, tenpa di, chasan sangye jumne di ki dene ki lamdun na chaya ki sungdi la, kyo ki tenpa sikhori da, kyo ki tenpa sikhori.
So this then, that has just been described, is the antidote to this ignorance of self-grasping, the wisdom realizing emptiness. So the wisdom realizing emptiness, being a wisdom, it's a mind. And it's a mind that is generated independence on the kind of meditation that has just been described. And it is this wisdom that is the antidote to the root cause of all our suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping. However, the cultivation of this mind, it needs many helpers or assistants. And these assistants or helpers, they serve to power and support this wisdom or the cultivation, the development of this wisdom. So what are the helpers of this wisdom that realizes emptiness? Well, these are the minds of generosity, of ethical conduct, of patience, joyous perseverance, and concentration. And all five of these need to be trained in. All five of these minds need to also be developed in addition, or perhaps in conjunction, with the wisdom realizing emptiness. And this then constitutes the path to attaining liberation from suffering. And that is what is being referred to here in this first line, with how wonderful, how marvelous your teachings are. These teachings from the Buddha, the scriptural lineage of teachings that teach the wisdom realizing emptiness, as well as all its supporters of the cultivation, how to cultivate the minds of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, joyous perseverance, and concentration. All of these scriptural teachings are what are being praised here in the first line.
That's the Nibba Dila, Gangi Nayu Lam Song Asiri. Gangi Nayu Lam Song Asiri, Nayu Lam Song Asiri, Lam Song Asiri, Now Amchul Go Asiri, Lam Song Asiri. Deji Gargoya Sin Deji Nyegi, that's how you jump in. San Yujim Nendigi, Anzu, Kowal, Kowal, Kuru Dunga Tada, Drivi, Chirdu, and the Samotombani Namshata, the Kongures, and Jimba Sudim Subenyam, and those Chevores, the Nigi Sun Shembegi, Sung Di Gangi, the Gansa Sunetig, Sosuke, Amchola Tes, or Amchola, Lamachi Sanya, Shush, Shinyane, Tibi, Tendela, Yane, Yandu, Sam Dadu. Dini tebe dunda jang zu ha gu gu le es zhi da ha gu ni dunda di dini a zhi ge dunda ha gu yi ge qian mian ge ba ni de dunda di yang ne de gong gong xi de zhi san dini ge gong gu le es de gang ge na yue lam song wa xi de de xi san ji ji a zhi sun xie ge dini ge sun de yang ne ya de tue de tebe dunda le yang ne de sam dang dini ge tebe dunda de ha gu yo de dunda di le ya gong gu le es zhi de gang ge lang na su
And looking at the next line, which for us is the third line, whose ears they reach. So this then, to translate this in a different way, it literally whose ears hear these. So the these then refers to these marvelous teachings, these teachings on that have presented our true experiences in psychic existence. In other words, the variety of subtleties of sufferings that we experience, as well as the teachings on their causes, as well as their teachings on the solution to these causes. In other words, what are paths and how to develop these paths within oneself. So all those teachings, whoever hears these, whosoever ears they reach, then they need to engage in this process of hearing, reflecting, meditating repeatedly over a sustained period. So in the literal translation of what for us is in this third line, whoever whosoever ears hear these teachings. This particular term for hear is the same word as for hear or study in hear, reflect, and meditate. So just through seeing this word, which we don't have here at all, of hear, it implies behind it, hear, reflect, and meditate repeatedly over a sustained period on the meaning of the entire path of the teachings that have been presented here. Then for us, the second line. This second line, this is the result of the third line. So in other words, these marvelous teachings of the Buddha, whoever hears them, and hears them not just once or twice, but repeatedly, again and again, as well as reflect on the meaning of these teachings, these then lead to the result of the development or the bringing of peace. So in other words, it's through coming to understand our current situation and its causes, coming to understand that something entirely different is possible, that a cessation of even the subtlest forms of suffering is possible, and a cessation that is never interrupted by a moment of suffering again, that is possible through the cultivation of the various paths in one's continuum, through hearing and reflecting on that, and developing that result within oneself, then peace will come to one's mind. So for us then in our fourth line, so just the first part, who would, so just this here, but another way for this explanation we could just say whoever or whomever. So this then means that whoever were to receive or to hear and reflect repeatedly over a sustained period on these marvelous teachings, they would attain peace. So what this means is that through someone receiving teachings and reflecting on them, as well as giving rise to the variety of mental paths that are required, such as those relating to the practices, the supporting practices of generosity, ethics, patience, joy, perseverance, and concentration, as well as the key practice of wisdom. If someone cultivates these minds and trains well within them, then there is certainty that they will with great speed attain liberation from suffering. They'll attain freedom from suffering. They'll be liberated from cyclic existence in its entirety and attain a state of lasting peace through having abandoned the afflicted minds together with their seeds. Other practitioners engaging in the same trainings of ethics, of generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, concentration, as well as the practice of wisdom, but doing so under a motivating mind of bodhicitta that has arisen through the cultivation of love and compassion, then such practitioners, they will go beyond a state of mere peace. They will go beyond the elimination of the afflicted minds together with their seeds, and eventually even abandon the imprints of the ignorance of self-grasping, and thereby attain enlightenment, thereby arise as a Buddha for the benefit of all beings.
That is, that is, because somebody like, she gives her, she gives her the gift of seeing. That is, what time is it? Kyuji temple, some miguis. That is, that, Sanje Jumnen digi, the new sun shape you chedi, answer tersum, gomsum, yamlen jeva ina. Tarbadan, Tamji can be go top two guyoven, the nigget top two guy, Nubas Yoba in the top two guyore, Gimsen Dinza, and the nigi, Namlin Jehenda, Namje, you can cava, San Yigi, the new Sungu, Chitter, Nubada, the new Yenton, Doos and Tongue, Tongan digi, the nigi, Namje, you can dig cava digi, the San Yujum Nedigi, Dembatelia, Chick, Mahakan Suyore, Bea, was you do.
So just like if someone were to find a large diamond, and this person also knows the value of what they found, who amongst any such person would not value and take good care of what they had found? So in the same way here, the rhetorical question is answered. Who has had the opportunity to hear many teachings and reflect on their meaning, coming to see the incredible value and the potential that these teachings present, who would not strive with joy and with diligence and with effort to cultivate those teachings within their own continuum? And this then is the meaning of this of the rhetorical question here in the fourth line.
Then he gave him a say, I would say, some day we chamber, you get here. See, で、次、担保で、エマホ、セディスウォルド、ベマス、ヤゴレシャ、デニギ、ユンデン、トンチェン、サンギ、ソングリア、ユンデン、ベマス、ヤゴレシャ、デニギ、ニャムレン、チェバイネット、ニャムレン、チェン、チェサンモネタネ、タバコワ、コワル、ジョージェ、デニギ、デワディ、トップトゥード、ベマス、ヤゴレシャ、ヤゴソンシャ、サンジュメンディ、アンドリア、ソワディ、ケティン、チェンボ、シュウジダン、アンザー、チェンボ、シュウ、サンギ、ソンエギ、チェディ、ベマス、ザー、チェンボ、レ、サンジュメンディ、コロン、アンズル、ベマス、ケティン、チェンボ、シュウレシャ、チェディ、ベ、ヤゴレシャ、セキャマ、セディ、ダン、チェン、ダンボディ、ケマ、セディスウォルド、ナラ。
Here, Chay Rinpoche is praising praising Buddha Shakyamuni. He's praising him because through having heard extensive teachings and reflected and meditated on these teachings, he has come to gain certainty that the Buddha Dharma, this can lead through the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma within one's own continuum. This can lead to the complete elimination of the ignorance of self-grasping together with its seeds, and thereby one can attain liberation from suffering. One can be freed entirely from suffering. And moreover, if motivated by bodhicitta, one can even eliminate the imprint of this ignorance and thereby arise as a Buddha oneself. So with great joy at this, he praises both the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings. And that's what we see here in the first line with this the Tibetan word of emaho, or yeah, marvelous, or how wonderful. And he's praising both the Buddha for his tremendous kindness on having endured in his training for so long, and then praising him for his compassion in that he then shared these teachings, the full and unmistaken part. He shared this with beings. And moreover, the teachings that he shared, the quality of those teachings being complete and unmistaken, this too here is being praised by Lama Tsongkhapa. Meaning of this verse then in brief is that when one receives teachings on dependents arising and reflects on them, coming to see their validity and giving rise to a mind of wisdom that's understanding emptiness, one will then gain ever great as this mind, this understanding grows ever stronger, one's conviction and certainty in these teachings of dependent arising will grow and strengthen because of seeing the tremendous benefit that is coming and will continue to come through one's further cultivation of this understanding. One will gain ever stronger understanding that liberation is possible, freedom is possible. And as this understanding grows ever stronger in one, within oneself, one will naturally make more effort, have greater diligence in applying oneself to the cultivation of this understanding within oneself and having it infuse with one's everyday mind and all one's activities. And this then is a result of having received and reflected on these teachings. The advice then from Chay Rinpoche to ourselves is that despite this immeasurable passage of time that we've existed, we haven't yet attained liberation from suffering. And this is down to us not having yet received sufficient teachings and reflected on them with sufficient power, coming to be able to meditate on them, give rise to actual realizations and thereby liberation. Over this immeasurable period of time, we would have already taken uncountable rebirths as an animal or as a spirit or as a being in hell. In those circumstances, we didn't have the ability to receive teachings. We didn't have the opportunity to receive teachings. And there have been countless lifetimes that have been spent in such torment. And there, we never had the opportunity to receive teachings or the mental ability to understand those teachings. And even as other rebirths we may have had as human beings, without all the favorable circumstances that are required in order to meet the Buddha Dharma, have interest in it, receive teachings, be able to understand them, as well as having the freedom to train one's mind, to develop one's mind, without all those favorable circumstances, even in those lives where one had a good human rebirth, one was unable to develop spiritually. So in all these rebirths that we've had, or so, of the vast number of rebirths we've had, so many, we didn't even have the ability or the opportunity to hear teachings. However, those beings who have had the opportunity to receive the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, as well as have the freedom to come to reflect and come to gain realizations of them, so many beings have attained liberation, independence on the Buddha's teachings, attained liberation from suffering, and others have gone even further, and under the influence of the mind of bodhicitta, have attained enlightenment. And so these beings, though, aren't restricted to historical beings of the past, but there are many in the world now who are training their minds, cultivating these realizations within their continuums right now, rapidly progressing to a state liberated from suffering, and even towards the attainment of full and complete enlightenment. Now in this very lifetime, all of us here, we are human beings. All of us here, not only are we human beings, but we have attained a rebirth that can be called precious, because we have the freedom to engage in spiritual development. We have the opportunities to engage in spiritual development, which means we have this incredible, precious opportunity. And it's up to us not to waste it, but to rather utilize this rare and precious opportunity to receive many teachings and reflect on those teachings, coming to understand them in ever more profound ways, and eventually to meditate on them as well. And if we do so, if we do use what remains of this precious opportunity to the fullest of our potential, we can also attain liberation from suffering. Furthermore, Jai Rinpoche is giving us advice here that having recognized the preciousness of this opportunity that each and every one of us has achieved, this opportunity that if we utilize what remains of it well, we can attain liberation from suffering. And moreover, we can be of incomparable benefit to others as well. So therefore, he's exhorting us to use what remains of this life well. And as part of this exhortation, he's furthermore encouraging us to remind ourselves of the impermanence of this situation, that there is no certainty as to how long this opportunity will continue, and there certainly is no certainty as to when such an opportunity will come again. None of us can say with certainty what our future rebirths have in store for us. We have no idea as to which realm we will be born in, and even if born as a human, whether we'll have all the required or the vast array of favorable circumstances that are required in order to be able to receive the Buddha Dhamma and cultivate it within our continuum. So therefore, we'll be encouraged here to remind ourselves that there is no certainty how long this opportunity will remain, and therefore we need to apply ourselves to it immediately. What I've been saying here, I would assume most of you, if not all of you, have heard many times before. And if, when you're hearing it now again, you're thinking, I've heard this many times before, but yet it doesn't dominate my mind. Yet it still seems quite abstract to me. You need to then take this advice from Jai Rinpoche as being personal advice to each and one of us in particular, not just something general that is often repeated and that, yes, it makes sense and we nod and we agree, just like if we were watching a documentary and what the facts are being presented make sense. This isn't just a truth that's relevant out there. We need to understand it, that it's relevant to us as individuals. That what we have attained in this life is of incredible rarity and preciousness, but that this opportunity will not last, and it almost certainly will not last as long as we expect it to. If we take that and we apply it to ourselves individually, then this understanding can have the desired impact, the impact that we desire to have, it will then be able to have. If one makes is making the when one comes to make the decision that we, from now I'm going to utilize what remains of this opportunity to the very best of my ability. Having made such a commitment, then one can imagine oneself at a fork in a road, where one can go in one of two directions. One either can go in a wholesome direction or an unwholesome direction. And so these are directions we actually travel in anyway, whether we make a commitment to live a spiritual life or develop spiritually or not. We will always be heading in one of these two directions. Because what is motivating us in a wholesome or an unwholesome direction is our mind. If we are not consciously developing spiritual minds, then whichever direction we are going in, this will just happen spontaneously or naturally within us. And then if our afflicted minds happen to be stronger, minds such as jealousy and attachment and anger, we will go in this unwholesome direction, leading towards further suffering in this life, as well as creating the causes for further suffering in future lives. Similarly, if we just following the natural flow of our lives, and when virtuous minds arise, then we'll go in a virtuous direction, accumulating causes for happiness in this and in future lives. But if we make the commitment to live a spiritual life, in other words, to train our mind, to develop our mind, then we're making the commitment to pursue the wholesome path. And this comes about through cultivating the virtuous minds within ourselves. And as easy or difficult as we find that, is dependent on the causes that we have accumulated in the past, and thereby whose results we are experiencing now. So we can understand that in the sense of this body, this life that we have now, that we have been experiencing throughout this life, has come about independent on causes we ourselves accumulated in the past and have ripened in this life. And whilst we have this body and this life that has so many freedoms and opportunities for spiritual development, this body also serves as the basis for so much suffering that we've experienced, and so all the problems and difficulties that we experience. So when we look at it like this, we can come to see this, that there are these two directions, the one of suffering and the one that's leading towards freedom. And we have the choice as to which way we intentionally seek to go. And the more difficult it is to intentionally go in a particular, in the virtuous direction, is just due to our lack of familiarity with that direction. But through cultivating familiarity, then we will find it much easier to develop our minds in a virtuous direction. Because what we are trying to do in brief is just change our minds or develop our minds. This is it. This is what we are trying to do. Change our way of thinking. Change our way of relating to everything that appears in our mind. This is what we are trying to do. And how do we do this? Receiving teachings, reflecting on those teachings, meditating on those teachings repeatedly over a sustained period. And through that process, our afflicted minds start to weaken and our virtuous minds strengthen. We understand this through an analogy of a scale. On the one hand, as we develop our various minds of wisdom, such as the wisdom understanding coarse impermanence, as well as the wisdom understanding subtle impermanence, then various degrees of profundity of our understanding of dependence arising, and thereby various degrees of profundity of our understanding of the emptiness of inherent existence, as we develop this side of the scale, the other side, which are all our afflicted minds, they start to lose their power. They lose their strength, both in terms of the frequency as well as the strength of their ripening. And this then means it's much easier for us to go with consistency on the wholesome path, a path that is leading towards happiness in this as well as future lives, a path that is leading us away from suffering, a path that is leading us to develop the skills to be of true and lasting benefits to others. So we need to all individually have a close and an honest look at ourselves, see which direction our mind naturally, spontaneously goes in. And then, with the commitment to use what remains of this life well, we develop the wholesome minds that we already have, we develop them further, and we commit to always trying to act under the influence of only these virtuous minds.
And then,
First step in the meditation is to come to understand our situation, to come to understand how suffering pervades our situation. And we need to understand, in this meditation, we need to think of our own situation, not think about the suffering that other beings are experiencing, but look at the suffering that we have experienced in this life and perhaps are experiencing right now. And we need to look at the suffering in start with coarser levels of suffering, but then dig down to subtler levels of suffering that we have experienced. And we need to, although it's uncomfortable, we need to recall the suffering in a way that is vivid, so that we recall the pain that we felt at difficult points in our life. Because the purpose of this mental discomfort is to give rise to the wish, may I never have to suffer like that again. May I never have to suffer like that again. And then when we've given rise to this determination not to suffer like this again in relation to what we have experienced, then we can think about suffering that we observe in the world and whether it's by it's a suffering experienced by humans or non-humans. So for example, if we see a fish being caught and we see its tremendous terror as it flaps wildly trying to get free of this iron hook in its mouth, and then we see it slowly flapping less and the life leaving it, we know that that is a being filled with terror and its life has been taken from it against its will. We can then observe suffering such as that and all other forms that we observe in the world, but then we need to relate it to ourselves. How would it be if I were to suffer like this? How would it be if in my very next life I am born in a river or in the ocean and I am caught in this way and my death is brought in such a way? And in this way, we need to make this fear for such a rebirth vivid within us, so that once again the strong wish to never have to suffer like this arises. So what we're trying to do in this first part of the meditation is to gain a realistic understanding of the various forms of suffering, both coarse, like has been explained, but also the subtle levels, these sufferings that we have and are experiencing and will continue to experience as long as we continue to remain trapped in this prison of samsara.
Dubu,
The first part of the meditation then culminates in the determination to attain a state that is liberated from suffering, a state freed from suffering. And this only comes about in dependence on meditating on suffering and doing so in a way that is vivid to oneself, so that this tremendous fear arises for suffering, and thereby, in dependence on this, the determination to be freed of ever having to suffer like this again. Then the meditation progresses to the second point, which here we can present briefly, which is what are the causes of suffering. And that, as was mentioned earlier, are our various afflicted minds that come from a root cause of ignorance of self-grasping. And the only way to attain this desired liberation is to eliminate that root cause of our suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping. So that then is the second point of the meditation, and immediately we can move to the third point. Now thus far in the meditation, we've been concentrating on our own experience, our own fear, developing our own fear for suffering and wish to be liberated, and understanding why we are trapped in suffering. Now, for the first time, we turn our attention to the position of other sentient beings. And we remind ourselves that being trapped in this state of suffering, always with the potential of this, our situation changing for the worse and perhaps impossible to imagine situation such as falling into the lower realms, this is always a potential that may befall us. And this is something that is not unique to just myself and one or two others, but it's a situation for each and every ordinary being without exception. All beings are suffering against their will. No being wants this. All beings want to actually be freed and liberated from suffering. All beings want to experience lasting, stable happiness. However, not only do I and all beings share this wish for lasting, stable happiness, but all beings are the same as me in that they remain trapped in this iron net of suffering due to their own mind of the ignorance of self-grasping and all its resulting afflictions. So here we dissolve the difference between ourselves and others, seeing that we are all the same in wanting to be freed, but we all remain bound due to the same reason, our own minds of ignorance of self-grasping. Here then, seeing the situation of other sentient beings, compassion arises for their situation. We can take this compassion and develop it, and as well as the mind of love, generating the strong wish, may there be all beings be freed of the suffering, and may all beings attain a state of lasting happiness. And we develop this further to the point where we take responsibility for the welfare of others. We see it as our individual responsibility that each and every sentient being is freed from suffering. And we make the commitment that we develop ourselves so that we can become the most skilled of guides and thereby lead or train or guide beings in how to liberate themselves from suffering and attain their own individual enlightenment. And the only way that we can become such a skilled guide is to strive ourselves to attain the state of Buddhahood in order to be of benefit to others. And in this generation of the mind of bodhicitta is the third step in the meditation.
Longe, Kari Ton in a Shanlia, Pembe Chow to Shanlia, Tangi, Sampi, Dissamloading on the Yan and the Kongwa Chixe. Tadine, only teaching being Yamnesigore. Then I lunga used to Mugan, Shanla, Nibi Chow sets out in Jigme, Sampi, Samlodi, Dian Yan and the Samtonga Chagore, Dissutum Yamnesia Chagore. 다지게 안디가
So now we've generated this sincere commitment to spiritually develop ourselves in order to be of greatest benefit to others, to help others be freed of suffering through helping, through training and guiding them in their spiritual development. So with such a mind within us, the fourth step of the meditation will arise very easily. Firstly, with a commitment to always work for the welfare of others, to have as our guiding principle to be of benefit to others, whether we express it physically or verbally, and certainly guided by a mind that is committed to bring benefit to others. So this is the practice of generosity, the wish to support, the wish to benefit others. And this can be practiced through offering material generosity, or through the way of speaking, or and certainly through our mental attitude. And then accompanying this arises the wish not to bring any harm to others, certainly not physically, not through our way of speaking, and not even in our way of thinking. And this is the practice of ethics, the commitment not to bring harm. And the third mind, the mind of patience, also arises in dependence on this prior development of love and compassion and bodhicitta. And this mind of patience commits that having now committed to working for the welfare of others, and always being of benefit to them, and never harming, then the mind of patience, independence on that arises very easily. No matter how others treat me, no matter what others do or say towards me, my mind will stay undisturbed, and my mind will remain dominated by the wish to be of benefit to them. And when the source of potential disturbance is not from others, but from my own inner turmoil, I will remain undisturbed by that, and I will remain committed to striving through whatever these difficulties, these inner difficulties are, so as to achieve this most worthwhile of goals. And this then is the practice of being patient with any difficulties, whether from others or from ourselves. And then the fourth practice is the mind of joyous perseverance. Having given rise now to a strong commitment to strive with effort and with diligence for the goal of enlightenment for the sake of others, the aspect of perseverance comes very easily. And wanting to be of benefit and transform the lives of others, we will with delight engage in helping others whenever we can. With delight, we will accumulate virtue as often as we can. So therefore, in dependence on the prior cultivation of these of the mind, such as love and compassion and generosity, ethics and patience, joyous perseverance too arises easily. And then fourth and fifth are the practices of concentration and within the union with special insight, as well as the wisdom realizing emptiness. So these meditations, when they are new to one, they take time to cultivate. But if one with commitment trains one's mind repeatedly over a sustained period, then the familiarity, the habituation grows, and they arise far more easily and with greater strength in one.
Sanji Temba, the Unit never show Sadan, Sosuke Lama, the Yukusi, the Temba show Semonan Jada, and then Ye Diniki Kawa, Tituva, Tene, Simjan, Tamje, and Luke Nazar, the same you do not, Tamje,
Then they finish this practice through prayer, and prayer is an important part to include. One can make one's aspirations in accordance with one's own wishes, but in general, one should include here the strong and sincere aspiration that may we be a conduit for the virtuous activities of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and our teachers. May we become a conduit for their activities and thereby fulfill their innermost aspirations. In particular, may we be assistants to our teachers and all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the fulfillment of their innermost aspiration, which is the elimination of suffering for all beings. And then furthermore, we request blessings that these various minds we are training in the cultivation of, such as this clear realization of suffering and its causes, as well as the minds of bodhicitta and the various practices such as generosity, ethics, patience, etc., as well as in particular wisdom, that all of these come about as quickly as possible for the benefit of all beings.
What
has been presented tonight has now already been summarized, so I don't need to summarize it again. But it's my sincerest wish that all of you train in the way that has been presented, either the way that has been presented tonight or in more detailed presentations we've had in previous sessions, where, for example, the generation of bodhicitta, we spoke about how to utilize the six cause and one effect method, where you're reflecting on how all beings have been our mothers, their tremendous kindness, as well as then giving rise to the wish of to repay the kindness and so forth. And in particular, as we are in the context of dependent arising, if you can incorporate your understanding of dependent arising in each of those points,